Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I'm also the pastor of New Vision for Life Ministry, which I think is the greatest church in the world. To God be the glory, with the greatest congregants in the world. All right, I'm going to stop talking about how great we are. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Also, you know, as always, we have with us our co-host today, and Minister Tabika Garnes, again, a woman that I tell you constantly that is loyal and faithful to a fault. She's absolutely beautiful, not only in her physical body, but in her spirit as well. And I am so grateful to have her to walk alongside of me, to be a co-host with me. And I thank the Lord for her. Thank her for everything that she does in our ministry. And so every chance I get to give her accolades, that's what I plan on doing. So I would like to say to her again, good morning, beloved. How are you today?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. I was sleeping so good. I overslept. I must have hit snooze on my alarm when it went off, and then, you know, I heard a text message come through, and I looked at my phone, and I was like, oh, I heard it. I overslept. So, I guess I needed it, but. I'm glad yes. I didn't sleep so hard that I missed the show. But, amen. You know, I just thank God. I thank God for another day. You know, glad that we're not having technical difficulties, you know, today like last week. So now we're able to, you know, share what we were going to share last week. So it was something powerful in that, because I'm telling you, like, the enemy did not want what was going to take place to go out on the airwaves. That it was a block from every which mm-hmm. way. But we glad that whatever was going on, that God took care of it, and we're able to share, you know, what we were going to share last week with, you know, Mark joining us this morning as well. So amen.
Amen. Amen. And I would also, praise be unto God, like to say a special good morning to someone who was the very first guest co-host, and that is Deacon Thomas. I want to say good morning to him. He did set it up to be with us on last week, and we weren't able to make it, and praise be unto God, he's back with us. No, he was able to make it. We couldn't get on the air. And thanks to God, please let me say, when we say technical difficulty, we don't mean in our ignorance of something technical that we couldn't get on. Blog Talk was having issues and would not let us on. And so we do apologize immensely, you know, because we saw all of you lined up on the keyboard. We saw you there, and it was breaking our hearts, you know, one by one as you had to drop off the line. Because we could not get on. But Thomas Farr, you know, originally was a guest caller just the way all of you are. And then from the guest caller, he began to assist me, lead me, and guide me, praise be unto God. And then he just got so full of himself, praise be unto the Lord, that he went and started his own show with Issues Christian Men Talk. And I love him. I thank God for him. And I want to say good morning to this awesome man of God. Good morning, Deacon Farr. How are you?
Praise God. Praise God. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, sir. Thank you.
Uh-oh. Hello.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Here we go. We working. We un-technical difficulty this morning. Praise God. How y'all doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how are you today?
We're doing wonderful. Everything is up and working. And just to let folks know that we are, for my brothers that listen to Issue Christian Men's Talk, we're doing a co-broadcast this morning. And Elder Mark, you should hear his voice in a little while. His wife, so we're going to be talking about marriage and some other things. Just let the brothers know that called in to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We are here, even though you hear Apostle Eddie Banks, I'm here. So just hang on, brothers. It's going to be edifying and enlightening for you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we welcome you and your crew together. We just truly welcome you. We honor you. And every week we tell our listeners, you know, about Issues Christian Men Talk, because I just think it's truly one of the best radio shows that they can listen to. Because, of course, most of the callers on here are women, and we definitely have regular men callers that are online with us. But your show, you know, specifically speaking to the males, and I tell the ladies, look, you better go and find out what it is they're saying, because we're living with these men. We're living with them. And it's good to know what is being shared. And it's good to know. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So with that being said, good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, daughter. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce in New York, to Anita Hall. Good morning to, a prophetess, Kim. Good morning to you, sweetheart. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning to, Mary, Nikki, too. Good morning to you, baby. Good to see you. Good morning to, let's see. Deacon Banks, Isaiah in New York, and Isaiah in Pennsylvania, good morning to you. Good morning to Denise in Pennsylvania. Praise be unto God. And a special, again, good morning and welcome to our brothers from Issues Christian Men Talk. Good morning to you. We send out love over the airwaves to you. God bless you. Good morning to all of the callers from New Vision for Life. We appreciate you calling in and constantly being a follower of the show. We really thank the Lord for you. And without further ado, I'm going to turn this back over into the hands of Minister Tamika Garnes. She can introduce her husband and then lead us in prayer.
Thank you, Apostle. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us for another Saturday. Thank you so much for taking the time out, you know, on Saturdays to come join us and give your, you know, concerns, opinions, comments, whatever it is, however you support us. We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And this morning I had the pleasure of having my husband, Mark Garnes, with me to help us with this show as we talk about marriage, which is a lovely thing. And so, Mark, you want to say good morning?
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Good morning to you, Apostle. Good morning, Deacon Farr, my brother. Pleasure as always. Good morning to the Issues Christian Men Talk listeners. We thank you all. It's a pleasure and honor to be in this arena today to have a discussion about marriage. It's so wonderful. My wife and I are coming from celebrating 15 years, just the 21st of last month, we're celebrating 15 years. We're still a young couple, but our experience
Yay.
Is just something especially, thank you, Apostle, we especially
yes.
want to share and just to be a blessing to someone else. I know someone else may be going through some of the things that we've seen and may still be going through some things, but we just want to be a blessing and continue to help and work. So to God be the glory. Good morning to you all once again.
Yes, and also stay tuned for our podcast called My Favorite Love Story Is Ours. You'll probably hear the first episode on Wednesday of next week. So just stay tuned. It will be available on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, as well as Anchor FM. So yeah, it's going to be an awesome time where, you know, we get to work together, which is something that we like doing. So it shouldn't be, you know, a hard thing to do. So
amen.
So let's get started and open up in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you are doing in this season. We thank you, Lord God, that you are working with us. You are loving us through everything, Lord God, that we are experiencing even now. And we just thank you that you are faithful and consistent in everything that you do. We just give you praise because without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. Without you, the destiny that you place within us cannot come forth because only you know what it looks like. Only you know what it is that you have us to do. And so, Father, I just pray that as we look around and we see all the things that are going on in the world, the things that, you know, concern us, the things that make us angry. And when I say angry, I'm not saying to the point where we're going to go out and take care of it ourselves, but I'm saying angry to the point where we fall to our knees and we cry out to you, Father God, because we definitely, Lord God, need your help. And so, Father God, I just pray that you protect us every time we leave out of the house, every time we come back in the house, even when we're in the house, Lord God. I just pray, Lord God, that you protect us and you block us from the evil of this world, Lord God, that you will block our children, especially the ones that, you know, our young children and the ones that are, you know, catching the bus to and from school. And just protect us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Put that hedge of protection, that block, Lord God, that the enemy cannot penetrate, Lord God. Just put that around us, Lord God, and the ones that we love. And, Lord God, just give us help us to just pray for the things, Lord God, that are causing us grief, that are tormenting us. Lord, help us to be still in your presence and not, you know, be before you and jump up and just go on with our day, but help us to be still before you and listen to what it is that you are saying so we won't be filled with anxiety and depression, Father, in the name of Jesus, so we won't make decisions without your approval. And so, Father God, we just give you praise and we just thank you, Lord God, for everything that you are doing. Thank you for your unconditional love. Thank you for leading the way. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for not giving up on us, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Thank you for loving us through our mess. Thank you for loving us, Father God, even when we didn't love ourselves. Lord God, just thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we love you. We bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Listen, saints, I want all of you that are on the line now, I want you to text some couple that you know. I don't care that it's 9:15 in the morning. Text somebody that you know and put our call-in number in that text and tell them to call in and listen to the show. You might help save somebody's marriage this morning. I'm telling you, you just might help save someone's marriage. So please go ahead and take the time to do so. I literally did that, and the person I text joined just now. They joined. So I want you to go ahead and text somebody and tell them to come on and listen to the show. It'll be well worth it. It'll be well worth it. We're going to talk about the good and angry marriage. That is what we're going to be dealing with this morning. This information is from the Marriage Missions International. We're revealing and reflecting the heart of Christ within marriage. And so know that everything that we are doing here, as we're talking about the marriage, we of course are going to tell you and hope you are going to share with us what it is that you deal with as we're dealing with the good and angry marriage and doing that. And we want to hear what God's word has to say about it. Always, always, we want to go back to the word of God, because that is the only way we can successfully survive in this thing called marriage. Praise be unto God. All right. So we want to start out by listening to Mark and Tabika, and they told you they have spent 15 years in marriage. They said it was a good marriage and so forth. And, you know, when they first came together, they were madly in love. And we wonder if, just like with Gary and Carrie Oliver, we wonder if they were madly in love and then they got to the place where they were just mad. How about you? Did you experience that? Yes, I am so madly in love. I can't wait to hear from my man, from my husband, my mate, my significant other, whatever the case may be. Can't wait to hear from him. Looking forward to it. He can't wait to get home from work and kiss and hug his wife and so forth and so on. And then the day and time comes when you can barely look at one another. You can barely speak to one another. You know, you don't have anything good to say about your spouse. And you don't have to be married to this spouse. If you're engaged or in a relationship where you're close to one another, you know, you're going to experience some time like this. You'll experience some time like this. There are couples, praise be unto God, and Joyce and Lester Richardson might be one of those couples. I'm not sure, but one of those couples, you know, where they, because of the age of marriage, their relationship with Christ, wondering and working on how to relate to one another according to the word of God, they were able to handle some of this stuff right off in the very beginning of their marriage. And that would have been great for all of us. But I want you to understand, I don't care how godly you are. I don't care how long you have been serving the Lord. I don't care how long you have been in love with one another. Please trust me. You will hit a day when there's conflict in that relationship. The thing is how do you handle it? How do you handle the conflict? Is the marriage still going to be a good marriage, or are you just going to be angry in it all the time? Is this going south? No, hope of coming back north? Are you going to resent each other throughout the whole thing? Understand that these things happen, and it's just like in our Christian walk. We can't think that just because we are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost that we will not experience trials and tribulations. We will experience those things. And, yes, we will ask God, why? Why in the world do we have to go through some of these things? But trust me, as you get to know God more, as you grow in your relationship with him, and thank you, Holy Spirit, just for reminding me, I know I mentioned when a couple falls in love and they're happy in the beginning of it, and you know they were madly in love and now they're just mad. It happens with us in our relationship with God. We fall in love with the Lord. We're excited about him. we trust him, you know, and so forth and so on. And then as life goes on, we come to a place sometimes where we are mad at God. We are mad at God. Now, you know, when we're bold enough to be mad at God, we're definitely going to be mad at our spouses, mad at our children. We are just going to be mad. But we also know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world. And today we're going to discuss some ways of dealing with angry marriage issues, some angry marriage issues. So let me go ahead and turn to my guest host here, one's the host, other is guest host, Deacon Thomas Farr, and to the Garneses, praise be unto God. Is this a situation that you can say yay or nay to, that one time I was madly in love, then there was another time when I was mad, and how did you bring yourself to the place where you're still in love with your mate? Go ahead. It's open to either one of you.
Amen. Well, first of all, we all know, like you said, there are going to be times in your marriage where there is going to be conflict and there is going to be issues. However, for us, we don't hate each other. That part where it says you can't stand seeing each other and all that other stuff, you know, we don't deal with stuff like that. That we do have issues that we have to work through. And now as far as, you know, like full-blown arguments where you're not talking for 2 and 3 days at a time, and no, that we don't experience those type of things because we don't allow that take place in our marriage. Are there times when we may go like an hour or two without saying anything to each other? Yes. Giving one another a chance to, you know, get themselves together, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Also, we've learned that we have to keep, you know, God in the center because he is the author of marriage. And so he knows all things, and he knows how to bring us back together, and he knows how to lead, and he knows, you know, what marriage looks like. And so when we keep him in the center, yes, we're still going to have those issues. We're still going to have, you know, the conflicts and the things that we go through and all of that. But trusting God, letting him have reign in your marriage, in your relationship, you know, in your engagement, you know, just we have to, you know, we have to, Mark.
Yes, amen. Definitely we celebrate still being madly in love. And we are sometimes angered and sometimes mad about a situation or something that we're dealing with, but never to the point where we're not talking for some long period of time. We may have a cool-off period, and that's something that we agreed upon. When it gets to a point where we're both, before we even start raising our voices, we, you know, have a sense of what's going on. Let's just calm down. You go your way. We'll talk about it a little later. Let's just go sit down. Sometimes I may go downstairs and to my little man cave area, or she'll sit someplace else. Or even if we're in the car, we'll just kind of be quiet for a few seconds, and one of us will just say, you know what, I apologize. I got a little stressed, or, you know, whatever the issue may be. I must be honest, it's been times where I've said, Lord God, if I could just let her see the light, I only needed to see the light. I want to bring her right back. Just let her see the light for just a second, and then I can bring her right back. But at the same time, I'm madly in love with my wife, and I thank God for the woman she is. And, you know, we learned a long time ago from something you shared, Apostle, the 7-Minute Marriage Solutions, which is by Stephen Otterburn, of just keeping God in the center. So as we keep God in the center, we learn that we have to forgive. So God doesn't take time to forgive us. It only takes us asking. So sometimes in that same thing, we have to say, you know, I'm sorry, I apologize. Can you forgive me? And sure enough, yes, no problem. I'm not holding any art. Of course I forgive you. Of course, while we're driving, it can't be a kiss to make up. But at some point, it's a kiss to make up, or a hug, or just just holding hands and say, you know what, we got a little out of sorts, but okay, let's keep moving on with what we have because we have a blessing. I know she's my blessing, and I intend to walk and continue to be hers. So, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Deacon Farr, what sayest thou, sir?
Really? Amen. Amen. Well, praise of God. You know, amen. It's a couple of things. I mean, with Elder Gons and Elder Mark, and what they're saying is true. I think what it is it's a growth process. I say for myself, mm-hmm. and I'm in my marriage, it was a growth process. It was, you know, because and people who know my testimony, we were married like 15 years before we even came to Christ, and then in the midst mm-hmm. of that, it was you want to do better. Do you want to do better? And I think a lot of the things that motivate us to do better was we were surrounded by solid couples, solid Christian married couples who actually mm. loved each other. Because sometimes it needs to be modeled. So that's the one thing I would say, that because you have to learn how to deal with conflict when it comes, different than what you might have learned or witnessed or you just don't mm-hmm. know. And I think that's part of it. Some of the things that we don't really prepare young couples for, or even people who've gotten married and, you know, they had the wedding ceremony and all that, but they really didn't have mm-hmm. no premarital counseling. So they don't have the tools. So I think it's about having the tools. And then I know Elder Mark knows this too. It's always about tuning it up. You have to keep it tuned up no matter how many years. I mean, mm-hmm. they got 15. I can remember when I had 15, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, but you have to keep it tuned up, and you have to, because you're going to get mad. It's going to be, trust me, I've seen it and I experienced it. There's going to be issues that come up in marriage and relationships, but you have to have a plan, and I agree with what the Gons are saying. We have a plan to know to take time out. You know, a thing I learned in one time in a marriage counseling session, a pastor told me, you know, to know how your marriage can survive, both of y'all can't be ignorant at the same time. Somebody got to keep close their mouth, and that'll solve a lot of things. Someone has to be mm-hmm. the one to stop talking, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this: it's a lot, but you have to wanna, and then you have to prepare for it, because you can't live romantic fantasy, and that's where I think a lot of young couples are looking. Mm-hmm. Looking back, a lot of young couples are caught up in the fantasy of romance and think it's all going to be, and then life comes and they're not really prepared. So I'll say that I think it's about preparation, because you're going to get mad, mm-hmm. but then what you going to do? And then it goes back to, are we committed to each other? Because if I only love you and I only want to be with you when it's good and I'm happy, you already got problems. So that's a mindset for me that I'm mm-hmm. thinking. You know, it's a mindset. Are we really committed, and are we preparing ourselves to work through these issues, no matter what they are, big and small? Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. And remember, saints, you can always press 1 on your keypad. If you have something to share, press 1 on your keypad, and we will gladly add you to the conversation. We would like to hear from your voice of experience as well. All right. All righty. Now, one of the first things that is suggested here is the fact that we be respectful in how we deal with each other. Be respectful. We know that, you know, when you're in a place where you're angry and so forth, and you know, you're shouting, you're yelling, you're saying things to one another that you know you probably shouldn't say and so forth, we look back at the word, and the word, you know, tells us, you know, about respecting one another. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, the thing of being respectful, when we look at it, sometimes it's hard to respect the spouse. You know, when they have upset you, when you're mad and you have thoughts and you end up saying things, and I loved what Deacon Farr said, both of you, you know, should not be mad at the same time. Somebody's got to be wise and do something. And that is so true, so true. You know, God has called us to be peacemakers. Even in our relationships, he wants us to be peacemakers. He does not want us to disrespect each other. And we know that it is so very easy to disrespect each other. But the word would tell us in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Listen to that. We are to be respectful to one another when we talk. We're not to let any corrupt conversation fall out of our mouth. We don't want to do any actions that are demeaning. How many of us have called each other names, you know, while we're arguing with them and while we're hurt and feeling abandoned or rejected, whatever the case may be. You know, these things happen where we disrespect one another. But God has called us to come a step higher than that. He's called us to be in the place where if God is the center of our marriage, is the center. Look, I'm even going to say this. This might sound crazy. You know, the minute I mention and think of God as being the center of our marriage and say, if he is the center, then we should be able to do this, that, and the other. I'm saying to you that if God is even on the sideline of, I'm looking at a triangle, so if he's on the right leg or the left leg in your marriage because you're growing together, if he's on either side of that, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you in what it is you should say and what you should do. Respect the mate. Respect the fact that you have the Holy Spirit within you and that he sees and hears all things that we're doing and going through. The word tells us submit ourselves to one another out of reverence to Christ, out of reverence, excuse me, out of reverence to Christ. So that means that we are to say things in a respectful manner. We don't excuse or ignore our disrespectful behavior. We can't. We have to see to it, praise be unto God, that we're working up. Tamika, go ahead, honey.
Yes, ma'am. you know, we have to make sure that we are giving our mates the respect that is due because, you know, things that we say can cause hurt to the point where your mate may begin to despise you or they may begin to look at you and lose respect for you. And it's like once somebody loses respect for you, it's hard to get that back. It's hard to get that back because, you know, in the beginning, you know, they looked at you as, you know, especially wives when we look at our husbands. So I'll speak from that point of view. You know, when I look at my husband, I look at him as my protector. I look at him as the provider. I respect him as a man, and I respect him as God's child. And so I make sure that even when, you know, there are times when I'm upset because he may have done something that I don't completely or totally agree with, I have to make sure that when I speak, you know, I know many times that my tone is wrong. And that's because either I'm excited, you know, about what it is that I'm talking about, or he has done something that, you know, has made me angry. But I don't say things. I don't call him names. I don't dig, you know, at things that I know that he's insecure about. I don't do that to him because I don't want to kill his self-esteem. I don't want to kill his confidence. You know, I don't want to do any of that because, again, the vows that I made before God, those were real. And I know God is looking at me to, you know, I told God this is what I'm going to do, and I want to make sure that I keep that. And I never want to be a person to hurt someone, you know, to hurt someone that I love. What do you say, Mark?
I would agree, and both. One of the biggest things in the respect and being respectful comes in communication, how we talk. Because I was reading another article about marriage, and it's talked about growing healthy spiritual habits. And of course, one of the healthy spiritual habits is good communication. And good communication, because bad communication can come. It is that level of disrespect where you're calling someone out of their name, or even not even necessarily calling them out of their name, just saying things that are hurtful. You know, we've all said it as we were growing up, you know, words can never hurt me. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But truly, to be honest, words can cut deeper than the sharpest knife. Words can cut deeper, because those are scars that become internal. You may heal on the outside. Broken bones may heal. Bruises may heal, but the words are may even mm-hmm. even forgiven are still never forgotten. Like if I was to say something to my wife in a disrespectful manner, at another point, even after she's forgiven me, it may always be in her mind that he really thinks this of me because he said it. So when you bring those words out of your mouth, I've heard couples that cuss each other out and then go back to saying we love each other. But as soon as something else happened, that quick I love you was only a Band-Aid over the bleeding jugular that was caused from the deep wound from the disrespectful conversation. We have to understand that, you know, when we talk, my wife is my queen, and I feel like I cannot stand as a king unless my queen is in place. And for me to tear her down, to disrespect her, would tear down the blessing that I have. So why would I ever disrespect her and cause her pain or cause her hurt? Like, for men, we have to recognize our wife. Deacon Farr said it last night in one of our men's events. He mentioned it, of course. The wife is our help meet. She's there. She's the sustenance made to help us to stand strong. When we can't stand alone, she's the sustenance to make us stand strong. So would you stab yourself? Would you stab yourself in the ribs? Because when you do stab your wife, you are stabbing your own ribs.
Amen. 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 Real quick before Deacon, I'm going to say something real quick before Deacon Farr. And I kind of want him to address this part, because my daughter-in-law is listening, and she wanted me to ask this question or add this, that when my son and her have a disagreement, she said that, you know, they ask each other, what do you think the other person is saying? You know, because sometimes, you know, they're mad for whatever, and it's a communication thing that it can become the breakdown of the relationship. So I wanted to, you know, ask Deacon Farr, you know, how does that help a relationship in the midst of, you know, you're going back and forth? You take a moment just to say, but what is it that, you know, you're thinking, or, you know, what is it that you feel about? Because sometimes that's where, you know, things fall apart, is because somebody said something, but somebody else took it the wrong way. And so what the person said was not meant to hurt or embarrass or whatever, but the other person took it that way. But if we don't take this time to, you know, ask that question, what do you think I was saying? Deacon Farr.
Amen. Amen. First of all, who came up with this, your daughter-in-law? Amen.
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear
Hello?
Me? Yes, we got you.
Okay, I got you. That's pretty good. But, you know, she's right. I mean, that's one of the things when we talk about communicating that we have to we have to ask people, what did they hear? What did you hear me say? Trust me, I go through this a lot because you know, I'm still working on my marriage. But anyway, you know, it is because the way we communicate and what people hear us say, what we were trying to say, they hear it differently. A lot of things can get, you know, it could be at the spur of the moment, and it's not listening, and that's what I was saying before. When you're both talking at each other, no one's hearing anything. So you could say something, and they only heard part of it, and they only heard the part that hurt them. And then that's why we have to be mindful and be careful of the words we use, because we don't want to attack or criticize our spouse, even in the midst of conversations or trying to work through issues. So we have to be mindful. And one of the tools, again, I give you a tool. I give a brother a tool, a sister a tool, of a journal where you write this stuff down, and then y'all get to read it. Because when we're doing oral, remember, there's more than just oral communication. There's body language, there's volume, there's tone, there's necks moving, there's a lot of stuff going on where you're not hearing the words coming out of their mouth. So our tool is that we have a journal. We write some stuff down where we can go back and read what I was saying, read what my issue is, and then give our spouse time to respond to that issue. And then when you come back together, we can look on the paper and see this is my issue, this is how I felt, this is how you made me feel, and all that. Because, like I say, if we get mad and we let it get overheated, no one is listening. And I think that's the biggest thing when we're talking about marriage relationships with spouses and people who are trying to have relationships. Once the volume goes up, no one's hearing nobody. That's why everybody's getting louder, because they don't want to listen. They want to be heard. And being heard, we can do a whole nother hour on that by itself. So, you know, so I think what she was saying is, that is a problem. Because what I said, that's not what I said, it's what you heard. And then that can be a whole issue. But like I said, the tool to that is to learn to stop, learn to write stuff down, use journals, use marriage journals, couples journals. And you don't have to buy the expensive one. Go to the dollar store, get you a black and white composition book and some number 2 pencils. And that'll save your marriage. Right. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Good stuff,
amen.
Y'all. Good stuff.
Good idea. Like that.
No, we were just saying we like that, that idea of writing
like
it down. You know, I don't like that.
Yes.
We were over here laughing
and
because I was looking at her. Had an expensive journal.
Yes. Well, let me throw another tool in there if I could, please. A lot of times, okay, so we, first of all, let me congratulate Liz and Chris on saying, you know, like, what is it you actually saying? What did you mean? I always, when I'm doing my couples, you know, tell them one of the things that you should do when a person says something to you, and especially if you find yourself getting a little upset, one of the things is, in fact, so listen, honey, this is what I hear you saying. You know, this is what I hear you saying. Now, tell me, is this what you meant? And it gives them that chance, you know, just like with the question they were asking, it gives them the chance to explain what they said. I know many a times, you know, I've been in a conversation, you know, with a mate, and what they said to me is not what I heard. And I'm telling you, I'm like, oh, whoa, wait a minute now. You know, let's get this straight. So it is good to say, okay, what did you mean? Or this is what I hear you saying. But another tool, when Deacon Farr said about writing it down, another tool that I would really like to throw in here is, y'all, schedule some of these conversations. Schedule them. The last thing after a man has gone to work, and this is not taken for granted that the women are all sitting home, when both of you are out to work or one is at home and the other is at work and you come together after work, the last thing you want to be dealing with is a conversation where you're being attacked, you're being caught off guard, You didn't even get a chance to breathe, excuse me, take your bathroom break, you know, go to the man cave. She kick off her shoes and just go sit down and relax and don't have to worry about dinner, whatever the case may be. The last thing you want to do is somebody to hit you with a conversation, a topic that you know is going to go haywire. You know it's going to go haywire. So what you do is you schedule a conversation. Let's say, I mean, I'll use Mark and Tabika because I can't say about Deacon Farr. I can't say about Mark and Tabika, really. But let's say they got dogs. Okay, they got dogs. And Tabika is upset because, excuse me, y'all, I'm sorry, and I do have something here to drink, but whatever the reason, I'm being attacked in my throat here. Let's say that the dogs keep messing in the house, and she has told Mark over and over again, you know, about the dogs. And Mark comes home from work. Tabika is already there, and the minute he walks through the door, she starts yelling, and she won't be cussing, but she starts yelling and fussing about these dogs. And Mark is like, "Dag, Tabika, I just walked in the door. Give me a break," and so forth and so on. But now, if she knows that this is the type of thing that they're going to fight about, you know, "Mark, listen, I have something I have to discuss with you. Can we talk about this, you know, like, at 8 o'clock tonight? Can we just come together and just talk? And I just want us to talk about it. You know, I'm not trying to fight with you. Just let's talk about it." And so that gives him a chance, you know, to sit down, relax, eat his dinner, have some conversation. But he knows, you know, we're going to hold a discussion about this at 8 o'clock tonight. And you're more prepared for that. And I know we have arguments that are spontaneous right there on the spot, you know, fight, 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 fight. But you trick the enemy. Let me tell you, you trick the enemy when you two say, "Okay, I need to talk to you about such and such. Can we do this at 8 o'clock at night tonight? Will you be available?" And that way it takes a lot of the potential for the anger, the fussing and fighting to go off board, to not be there. Because the person knows what you're going to talk to them about. You're going to discuss it. You're agreeing to come in into this discussion. And you have less of a chance of it turning into a fight because now you're both prepared heart-wise, you know, to sit and listen to one another. And so that's something that I would like to suggest to you, you know, and I know that I've done it. I have done it. I've had to say, "Okay, we need to talk about something." And I know this is touchy. I know this is touchy. But let us schedule the conversation. And then they come without being defensive, you know, that they got to fight and so forth and so on. So just wanted to throw that in there. Excuse me. In the course of us dealing with one another, one of the things that you want to remember is that your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. There is a hidden on where somebody, some spirit, definitely is trying to upset the apple cart and will speak through our spouses, will cause them to do things, you know, that are totally against what we think, feel, and even sometimes believe. And the enemy wants you to think that this is how your spouse really thinks, really acts. This is him, this is her, and so forth and so on. But your spouse is not your enemy. He is not the enemy. We treat each other sometimes like they are our worst enemy. And, beloved, this is not good no matter how you want to look at it. You will be in an angry marriage forever and a day if you think your spouse is out to get you, if you think your spouse purposely is hurting you and wanting to do this and so forth. You have to remember that you have the natural part of your relationship, and there's also a spiritual part of a relationship. And in Proverbs 15:1, it tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It stirs up anger. And just using that scripture alone, let me put it out there. Let me ask, have any of you experienced the time when you two were, you and your mate were about to battle or were in battle, and all of a sudden either he or she stopped and gave you a soft answer instead of an answer in anger, and it kind of took the wind out of your sails. It kind of took the wind out of your sail. You wanted to respond back in a very negative way. You may have even responded back in a negative way to you in a gentle voice, a kind voice, a voice that was responsive instead of a reactive type of thing. Did you find where that situation got turned around right away almost, either of you?
Go ahead, Deacon Paul.
Amen. Yeah. I've learned to behave better now, so I'm good. you know, it, yes. I mean, it's so many times that you know it works. But let me put it like there. It is. It worked. It happens a lot. You have to learn to step back and stop, you have to learn to step back. Let me say this. I'm going to interject this. Sometimes it's where the things that you're arguing over are not that important.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use the example of that. But even with for those who are raising children, you know, because, you know, you could be have challenges with teenagers and preteens and whatever. And you have to be able to step back and then come back together. But for me, it's happened a lot. I mean, and my wife, you know, everybody knows my wife is holy and everything, but, you know, she sometimes, too. We both had to realize that it was time to stop, step away, and give each other time. And that's what it is. But I haven't done it lately because I've gotten much better. So I'm, you know, I got high marks right now. What do you say, Elder Mark and Elder Tamika?
I think that knowing that when we talk about things that, and sometimes we argue about some things that just, like you said, Deke, aren't really that important, you know. When we go back and think about it, like, why would we even, it's been times my wife and I have, we've been in a hot, you know, I'm going to say a heated discussion about something, and then we're just thinking to each other, thinking, or we're talking later on, like, what were we even arguing about? What were we talking about? And then sometimes we're laughing, trying to figure out what the whole discussion was about. Like, it's been a lot of times we're literally at each other driving because we drive with two different styles. I tend to say that my wife is more of a comfortable driver. Like, I'm sorry, she is. She wants me to drive and cut through traffic, and I'm like, I can just wait a second. But,
dang. I'm not putting you under the bus. You don't put on
tire
tracks when you're
nothing
to eat.
Okay, all right, calm down. Somebody take a step back. We're going to be okay. It's okay. Sister Tamika, let him finish. Listen to what he's saying. Let him finish.
Yes, sir.
I sometimes... I'll take longer on a decision when we're driving. We both drive fast. Like we tell Apostle, we drive with an anointed foot. So we tend to get to place a little faster than most others do. But, you know, sometimes it'll be an argument about, why'd you let them get in front of you? Like, well, I wasn't trying to race them to get up to the next stoplight. But, you know, later on when we're driving, after we've had our calm down of about 5 minutes, and one of us says, you know what, my fault, I apologize, I shouldn't have got loud. And then we're just laughing like, yeah, did you see that fool? Because he didn't go nowhere the whole time. We were both the fools in the argument. But, yeah, I think sometimes couples just have an argument because not only are you always dealing with your spouse, you're always dealing with life. and the things that have happened throughout your day, whether it be when you were at work or whether when you bring those things home, you have to have an understanding that there's an attitude. There's a time where you felt like you've been, someone spoke to you in the wrong way, someone else disrespected you, and your spouse is normally the one that receives the brunt of your feelings because you're the one that you're opening up, the one you're opening up to. Our discussions in the car could be about her day at work or my day at my new job. It could be a discussion about family. But as we're having that discussion, sometimes another issue that's of no real meaning becomes the conversation. But I just think we have to take the time to step back and just say, my apologies, forgive me, I shouldn't have raised my voice, oh, I should have done this, and just talk about it and realize that, like you said, the issue really wasn't that big until we made it a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Back to you, my lovely wife.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Listen, you guys, I did not
wait a minute. Take a moment. Okay, breathe. Okay. Go ahead, Elder Tamika. Right. What do you say, Ram?
All right. Yes, I do not have road rage, okay, you guys? But I really hate when people cut me off. Like, I really hate it to the point where, like, they cut me off and I almost run into the back of them because that's how bad they cut me off. So I do get upset when that happens. I can get out the lane and get in another lane. Or, yes, I'm going to get out the lane and I'm going to look at you real hard. Or, number three, I will pull up. I will pull up so that you can't cut me off. So, now, anyway, back to the other part. What was the other part? I don't even remember what it was.
And this is usually what happens. We don't even remember what the argument was about because we're laughing because the issue wasn't that big of a deal.
What was it? What was the question?
I don't know. I forgot. I don't know anymore. The fact that this all came under the guise of your spouse is not your enemy.
Oh, yes. Wow. Right. No, he is not my enemy, and I could never look at him as such. And because our house is peaceful, and yes, you know, we have three dogs trying to get rid of a puppy that one of our dogs had, but yeah. So it's like those are our kids right now. When our grandkids come over, you know, the house is just full of happiness and joy. At the same time, you know, when it comes time to certain things, like when Apostle used the example of the dogs and, you know, one messing in the house and all that other stuff. So, you know, the new puppy, trying to train him, even though I want to get rid of him, trying to train him, you know, it's been kind of hard. And it's like, I don't want to do this. Like, our other two dogs are trained. You know, I don't want to do this with this new one. But at the same time, you know, I let him deal with those things. I let him deal with cleaning the cage and all that other stuff because I just don't have the patience to do that. I tried to help him out the other day with getting the puppy out of the cage, and it just didn't go right. You know, he had urinated in the cage, and when I went to take him out, he was wet, you know, and I'm like, you got to go back in the cage. I was so upset before he got home, and that was my intent, but it just didn't go that way. So I just let him know, hey, I tried to let the puppy outside, but it started raining real bad, and he was wet, and I couldn't do it, and I put him back in there. But so he wasn't upset with me because I didn't clean the cage and all that other stuff. He wasn't upset. He was like, okay, I'll take care of it when I get there. So it's like we have to work together. We have to know, you know, what your spouse wants and likes, and what they don't want and what they don't like, and be okay. You know, we each of us have different personalities. We like different things. we can't expect our spouse to, you know, like everything that we like, because we're two different people. And so, you know, even when you have arguments, your spouse is not your enemy, but there is an enemy that is trying to destroy your marriage, because that is his goal to do that. So just remember that.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, beloved, we have come to the, excuse me, we have come to the end of our hour together. There's much more we have here to discuss, so we'll pick up this conversation again on next week. But as it stands right now, dealing with the good and angry marriage, there's what, excuse me, what you've picked up right now so far is, number one, deal with each other with respect. Deal with each other with respect. You are treating your husband with respect, or your wife with respect, as unto the Lord, not as unto his behavior. You're doing this as unto the Lord. You're respecting him. And remember that your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. And remember that some of the tools that we were given, ask them what did they mean when they said such and such. Tell them, this is what I heard when you said whatever it was that you said. Write some of these things down. And when you write them down in your journals, this is the time when you schedule an appointment to come back and let's talk about these things so they can express whatever it is that there was. You're taking, again, the keys away from the enemy to destroy what really was and started out to be a good and happy marriage. We want to help you to continue to work along that way. I want to thank Deacon Farr with the host of Issues Christian Men Talk. Thank him and his callers, his the people that attend his show. Thank you for joining us this morning. I want to thank Elder Garnes for joining his wife with me, with us this morning. And again, look forward to their podcast. Is what my favorite love story is ours, I believe,
yes.
Or mine, or ours. Okay.
Ours.
And so ours. Okay. My favorite love story is ours. That will hopefully will be airing on Wednesday. excuse me. On Wednesday, we pray that even as we laughed and as we were talking here today, we pray that, you know, you can find even the humor in some of the things that you're dealing with, you know, that you will take the time and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you. I do apologize again, you know, for the coughing that went on. I'm still recuperating here. But, you know, thank you for your love, for your support. You got a taste this morning of our discussions with the couples. Please go ahead for next week. Get your friends, your family members, et cetera, to come and join in with us as we discuss the good and angry marriage. Take care. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome weekend. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.